Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you been given any assurances by management that your job is safe or anything like that?
Yeah, I don't get into those type of things, Mary Kay. I would just tell you my focus, our football team's focus is solely on the Buffalo Bills. And obviously watching the tape today, that's our focus, but that's all we really care about.
So you haven't asked for anything like that for, you know, any kind of a vote of confidence that you'll be able to continue on after this or anything?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into those type of things, Mary Kay. Not my focus.
There she was. Hit the hard-hitting questions yesterday at the press conference with Kevin Stefanski, and right now she is on the hotline. She is Mary Kay Cabot from The Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Make sure you read her every day. Mary Kay, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Mary Kay.
You asked the questions I think a lot of fans were thinking about yesterday when you asked that. Were you? I'm not surprised by his answer, but I'm just get your reaction to what he had to say.
Well, certainly not surprised by his answer at all, but it is that time. It's that time of year with a 3-11 record where you start having to address this issue. And you have to wonder what Jimmy Haslam is thinking and what he's going to do. Now, we haven't heard anything from Jimmy, of course, and we haven't heard anything for a long time from Andrew Berry because he did not talk at the bye week this year. So we really don't know what these guys are thinking. So we'll have to see how it goes. I mean, I do know that at the NFL annual meeting, Jimmy basically said that he wasn't going to be necessarily holding their feet to the fire this year because they knew that it was a fact-finding mission on the quarterback. So we'll see if he holds to that.
Mary Kay, do you think, and I would think the answer is yes, do you think Kevin wants to be back?
I would think so, yes. I would think that he would want to finish what he started here.
I would
Again,
think so, too.
I think that this year it laid the foundation for Super Bowl window two, and I think that they're going to add another big layer to that next year when they have two first-round picks, a lot of resources, a decent amount of cap space, and I think they're going to, you know, pretty much put the finishing touches on Super Bowl window two. It's not that you get there in that first year when you put sort of the finishing touches on it, but you have pretty much the team that you think can get you there.
When was Super Bowl window one?
Well, it was.
We left that in Kansas City, didn't we?
It was, you know, it was supposed to be led by Deshaun Watson, and it didn't work out that way, but that's what that was all about when you had Deshaun and Miles and Denzel and a great offensive line and all of those guys. So that was Super Bowl window one, and Deshaun was the leader of Super Bowl window one. And now they definitely need to find a quarterback for Super Bowl window two, but that's what's going on here. They're building their next entry to try to get to the Super Bowl.
All right, you said they were on a fact-finding mission for the quarterback. What facts have we figured out?
I think that it's still a work in progress. I think that Shedeur Sanders in this past game, I think he took a step back. I think that he really probably gave the Browns pause in terms of thinking about whether or not he could be their guy at the beginning of next year. Not that that they don't want to still obviously develop him, but it wasn't a game in which he built upon what he did the week before to say, hey, yes, I can absolutely be the guy. It was a game that you have to look at and say, okay, we have to go back to the drawing board. We have to see more. We have to see what he can do in these final three starts before we know whether or not we need to draft a quarterback in the first round of the draft.
I want to go back to Kevin for a second. we all know how it works in the NFL. You don't win three games and then whatever you're going to win this year and keep your job. I would think, Mary Kay, there's only one circumstance where they don't make a change with Kevin's position. And I said this earlier in our show, and that's if the Haslams completely take responsibility for Deshaun Watson and don't blame Kevin for what's happened to the team. Can you think of, do you think that's accurate? And do you think there's any other circumstance where they think they would bring him back?
Well, I also think, I don't really think that that's the case.
Okay.
I don't think that that's the case. I think the Haslams have already taken the blame for that situation, even though they don't deserve full blame for it. That was an organizational decision, but they're putting that on themselves. So I really don't think that that factors in here. I think the thing that they would have to look at over these last three games is the operation clean? Is it efficient? Are the players working really, really extremely hard? And then above all, what is your quarterback situation going to look like for 2026? And is Kevin the guy to lead that charge and to oversee that whole operation? And I think it will include and involve what's going to be happening with Shador. Has Shador demonstrated over the final three games the kind of growth that you need to see to show that he can be your guy? And if so, is Kevin and Tommy, are they the right combo to get him where he needs to go? And if not, if Deshaun Watson is going to be your bridge quarterback in the early part of the season, are Kevin and Tommy the right combo to get that done? So I think it has almost everything to do with what kind of offense you want to run, where you're going with your quarterback, and is Kevin and the combo of Kevin and Tommy the right group to lead you there?
Haven't heard Shador say a whole lot about Kevin. You think he likes the coaching that he receives?
Yes, I do. I think he is skittish about answering questions about Kevin because, I don't know, just because there's so much of a narrative out there about how Kevin is trying to sabotage him, I think he's probably just always being very, very careful about what he says. But I do think that these two guys, once again, are working together very, very hard behind the scenes. They're working very hard in practice with him, but Kevin and Shador are working hard behind the scenes in his office, going over the practice tape and things like that together. So I would have to think that Shador appreciates that and attributes some of his development to those very important sessions. So
should he say it?
At this point, I don't even know what anybody should say or not say anymore because you guys know how things get twisted on social media, and you can say something that sounds one way, and if people decide to aggregate it another way, then it's going to be portrayed erroneously. So I think he should just say what he feels like he needs to say in the moment and not overthink it too much.
Well, we were trying to kind of go through the whole scenario of Kevin and, fans all seem to kind of think that Kevin's he's on borrowed time right now, that it seems like once the season's over, they're going to let him go. And then you start asking yourself, if you do let him go, who are you replacing him with? Is there somebody out there that you think is a changer for this organization if they would decide to let Kevin go?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea. They're playing it very, very, very close to the vest right now. And so we don't know what anybody is thinking inside the organization. They are not saying, they're not talking. What we do know is that some in the national media are putting Kevin out there as a sought-after candidate. And not really exactly sure where that's coming from, but I do think that he would get a lot of interest out there on the open market if he becomes a free agent. Again, I think what has to happen with the Cleveland Browns is they have to decide what their quarterback situation is and if Kevin is the right coach to lead that charge. So those two things are going to go hand in hand, and then we'll see where this all goes.
Mary Kay, if, let's just say, management ownership blows up everything, who would get more interest around the NFL? Would it be Kevin or would it be Andrew?
Well, once again, when I talk about the whole Andrew situation, I almost, I think it would be very difficult to part ways with someone who has just drafted probably one of the best draft classes that I've seen in the history of the Cleveland Browns. I think it would be very, very hard to say, okay, we're done with you, right? I mean, you're probably going to have the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. You've got a really great defensive tackle. You have a really, really good running back. You've got a really good tight end out of this draft. You have another good running back. You know, the list kind of goes on and on. You add Isaiah Bond into this class, and then you haven't even made arguably your most important pick with it. Maybe not your most important, but one of your most important picks came from the trade down from 2 to 5, which is your first round pick that the Jaguars have in next year's draft. So I just don't know how you look at all of that and you say, no, you have to go. I'm not feeling that. I'm just not feeling that at all.
What do you want to see these last three games?
Well, Shador, if he wants to seize the moment, he's going to have to show really good decision-making, really good footwork. He's going to have to show a little bit more than just a couple of explosive plays. The good thing for him is they're not playing very good defenses over the next couple of weeks, and you've got some important guys that are out, some edge rushers that might not even play in these games. We know Trey Hendrickson won't play in the final game, and T.J. Watt, he might not play when the Browns face the Steelers in 2 weeks because of the collapsed lung. So he's not going to be tested against some of the best defenses in the NFL. So you're really going to have to look at traits. You're going to have to look at ball placement, which was not good this past week. Where is the ball going? What are the decisions that you're making? Are you seeing the field the way that you need to see it? You know, just the accuracy, the decision making, the not taking the negative plays, making those explosives, just continued growth from him and getting back to some of the things that are his strengths and his fortes. So if he can do that, then he still has a chance to say to the Cleveland Browns, you don't have to look elsewhere. I can be your guy.
All right.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's going to be a wild last 3 weeks here, I can tell you that. At least, I mean, for a team with three wins, there's still plenty of storylines heading into the offseason.
And more to come.
Yeah. We'll see. We shall see. Mary Kay, thank you. As always, we appreciate your time and your perspective.
Thank you, Mary Kay.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Talk to you soon. Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, Plain Dealer.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
The whole television concept is so strange to us, Andy.
It's different.
Yeah.
Do we have to get dressed?
I don't know.
Jeff, we're...
Oh, wait a minute. I see Nick and Jonathan come in. No, we don't, if it ever happens to us.
Oh, good. All right, good.
Wow. That's hurtful.
I think I've worn a tie.
Accurate, but hurtful.
I think I've worn a tie once or twice on television since I was done at the ABC. I'm just trying to think. I just like the first thing I wanted to get rid of in my life was ties. I can't stand them.
I have a box of ties that I'm giving to a buddy of mine who teaches at a high school that they require ties. I bet I packed up 80 ties the other day.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. It's a lot of ties.
Yes, it is tie.
Yeah, I don't know. A couple things going through my mind right now. One, and we'll get back to this. Mary Kay Cabot just talked to us a few moments ago, and we were getting into, you know, the future for the Browns. What'd you get out of the Mary Kay conversation?
A lot of thoughts. I thought she had some really interesting things to say. I think this. I don't think these guys survive. Mary Kay said, because I asked her about Kevin. The only way I thought he survives is if the Haslams take responsibility and give him a pass. And she said they've already done that by saying we took a big swing and a miss.
Yeah.
Really? So that's enough?
No. I'm going to be honest with you. No, it's not.
Okay.
Because it was a franchise decision that, and I'm still not buying the groupthink part of this. I'm not buying that at all.
If I'm the coach, I'm probably not buying it. I mean, we know what we know of Kevin. Okay, we hear him in press conferences. We see him. You think he was behind the idea of going to get Deshaun Watson and dumping Baker? There's no way on God's green earth I think that's the case. So he had to deal with what they did.
Yeah.
And is he going to take the hit for it? Yeah, probably. And will Andrew Berry? Mary Kay says no because he just had a great draft class. I'm going to play complete devil's advocate here. I don't think Kevin survives. Okay, as I've been saying for months, you don't win three and then follow it up with 3, 4, or 5 and keep your job in the NFL. That doesn't happen. How is this roster in the situation it's in that led to 3, 4, or 5 wins this year? Because they haven't put talent on this team in the last 5 years. Not enough. And one draft is, oh, okay, that's good. Well, what about the two Coach of the Year awards? When he had some talent, and I don't think Kevin survives, okay?
Right.
I don't think he's gonna make it. You won the Coach of the Year twice. You can say he's not very good or blah, 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 but when he had some talent, he won 11 games twice.
He's unbelievably respected around the league, whether you want to believe it or not.
Right.
People that want to argue with us go, oh, you guys are just defending him, and yeah, I can't believe you guys are defending. It's not us.
We're just trying to have a conversation here. I don't think he survives.
I don't either.
Had some talent, Andy, he knew what to do with it. They won 11 games in two of his first 4 years.
I think he and Paul Brown are the only two guys to win two 11 games.
And the other ones were what? 8 wins and 9 wins? I mean, the down years weren't awful when he had a roster that had some talent on it. Now, you know, are they ready to play? You know, are they getting penalties? Blah, blah, blah. You can make the argument, nope, they're not. You could also make the argument he's playing more rookies than anybody in the league, which is true. So, again, I don't think he survives. But I'm not going to give Andrew Berry a pass on 5 years of crummy drafting and roster building because he didn't have some picks, which he didn't.
First-round picks.
And because and a couple of later-round picks.
Yeah. No.
And because they've had one good draft. Well, thank God, that's your job. You're supposed to add talent to the team. And I just think if it comes down that Kevin gets canned and Andrew Berry does not, I don't think that's right. Because Andrew built the team that Kevin can't win with. I think it's that simple.
That's what it says on the sign when you enter the neighborhood.
And if
built by Andrew.
Built Berry tough.
The other part of the story, too, is are they a package deal? If you're going to get rid of one, should you just get rid of both? And just if you're going to start over as far as management decisions are concerned. I mean, you can look at the roster and say, okay, this guy's worth looking into. This guy's worth keeping for another year. This guy is, you know, I don't know why we're hanging on. Oh, he's a free agent. Let's let him be a free agent. So there are a lot of things going into that situation. So let's take a couple more phone calls because I know a lot of people want to chime in right before we went to the interview, and now you've heard what Mary Kay had to say, too. I do need to bring up this one point. She said, second Super Bowl window. And you asked the question, when was the first? And the only thing I could think of was when they got beat at Kansas City. And so, but she went and said, getting Deshaun was Super Bowl window one?
That's what she said.
I don't know.
I thought it was possibly when Baker was here and they had it going a little bit. And then I thought, well, if it's not that, it was when Bernie was thrown to Webster and Reggie and
Brian.
It's
been that long. Yeah, it's been that long.
Tom sends me an email.
Oh, sorry.
Can Mary Kay stop with the Super Bowl window two? Did I miss window one?
We both all missed it. Mike is in Orlando. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, man. How are you?
We're better if you take us off speakerphone. I'll tell you that. Thank you. That's all good.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
How's that, guys?
Way better.
Hey, well, look, I just got to tell you before we get started, I don't know what you're doing up in Cleveland, but I'm taking care of my orchids this morning.
Oh, great.
Hey, Mike.
This conversation's 0-2. One more swing and a miss. You're done. Keep going.
Another swing and a miss.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, what I wanted to say was, and it was interesting when you talked to Mary Kay Cabot, but after the Browns lost to the Jets, I think the front office, the owners, Haslam's, made the decision that they were going to fire Stefanski, but they were going to keep it until the end of the season because we already had too much drama, too much junk going on. And I think the decision has already been made. I think both AB and Kevin go, and then we'll
you got them both leaving. That. There's a lot of people that say AB stays.
I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't think he was bad. I think he, you know, blew on some drafts and everything. But, I mean, he was what he was executive of the year or GM of the year once or twice with us. Is that correct?
I don't know. I got to look through his resume. I got to be honest. I don't keep those stats unless he's hitting 300. You know what? Unless he's hitting 225.
300. Really, hey,
I'd be happy with 225.
What are the Browns going to do? All I care for, I don't make predictions. I just want to see 8-8. 500 ball. I'm never depressed at the end of the season. I just go, here we go again. But I just think the decision had been made.
And there you have it. You say after the Jets game, that's where you believe that was?
After the Jets game, the decision was made. But they didn't want to do it until the end of the season.
Gotcha. Okay.
Maybe.
Thank you.
All right, guys.
Appreciate
I'll take care of my orchids for you. Right. I'll send you picks.
Thank you very much.
We're excited.
Hope you don't get stung by a bee.
Or sunburn, sunscreen. Make sure you wear it. Forgot what that stuff is. Let's sneak in another one here. I'm feeling sassy. Don't know why.
Are you? That's great.
Yeah. Mark is in Parma. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hi, Mark.
Good, good.
Hey, so I've got a wild scenario to share with you. So hear me out really quick. So there is a vacancy in the executive organization of the Browns, right? Because Di Podesta left.
Well, if you feel that's a job you need to fill.
Right. But here's the point. They are enamored with Barry. So I'm speculating that they're basically going to promote him to some baloney position, keeps a salary. They're going to bring in a new GM. They're going to bring a new coach in. And I hope Stefanski's really successful wherever he goes. Hopefully he becomes the next big Bill Belichick because he is just an outstanding class act. And he's been handcuffed by this organization.
It's interesting you should say that. I brought that up to Jeff.
Yeah, Andy and I have talked about
this
that
morning because I said to Jeff, I go, do you think that we've got some sort of, and I'm not using this as a reference point because I think it's a serious thing, but like some kind of post-traumatic stress disorder over coaches that have been here before and have had success, like Bill, like Marty, like Paul Brown, you know? They went on and had success somewhere else after they were gone.
I don't know. I don't think anybody's hanging on to Kevin for that reason. But Mark, I agree with you. And it doesn't mean that, you know, it's the NFL. It doesn't mean that after three wins and whatever this is going to be, you don't move on because that's the way the NFL works. But Kevin represents our team and our city in a very classy way, I think, and I appreciate that.
I agree with you guys, and I'll just say that, you know, sometimes for an individual to be successful, they have to move on. And who knows if Stefanski is just going to say, you know what, I've had enough of this, man. I got to move on.
Well, I wouldn't walk away from the paycheck if I were him. I'd let them fire him.
That's and there are only 32 of those gigs.
Yeah, that's the other hard part. There just aren't that many jobs, and you're not walking away. You're not saying, yeah, you know, I'm done. You keep your money. Who's doing that these days? You know anybody like that?
You know, no.
I'm just checking.
No, I've always wanted to be that guy. No, I'm good. Keep money.
I'm good. You can have it. We all want to be Travis Fireman one day. I didn't play, so I didn't earn the money, so I'm not taking it. Oh, that guy was a legend to me for saying that. Mike Florio, speaking of legends, he'll join us next. Pro Football Talk, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Let's make ourselves smarter, shall we? We're going to make you smarter in a number of ways. One, we're going to talk football with Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk here in a second. Two, he's going to talk about all the books that you can read that he's written that will make you smarter, especially one for an ebook coming up here soon. Mike, happy holidays to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Hello, Mike.
Guys, how are you? Good to talk to you. Happy holidays.
All right, my friend. I need to go buy a book. I was thinking about getting Big Shield for my son. Let him go read that. So there's one. How am I doing that? And then what? You got anything else cooking?
Well, how old's your son? There's some words in there that he may not already know.
He knows him. He knows him.
Right. He's got to learn sometime, as James would say. Big Shield's at Amazon. You can get the print for $14.99. You can get the ebook for 99 cents, and that is the book that tells the tale of gambling, the mob, and professional sports, not just football, fictional league that is officially not the NFL, but there's some basketball, there's some baseball, and it's a lot of the stuff that I can't say it was ripped from the headlines because it predates the headlines. So I saw the potential for what was coming, and I got the book out there before it arrived, and I think there's a lot more stuff that can happen that could hurt the integrity of the NFL and other sports, and that's one of the reasons why I wrote it.
Gotcha. All right, so Dan told me you got a sweet deal coming up for some folks, too, if they want to hop online. True?
Yeah, I got a Christmas book that has been out for a couple of years now. And in the past, I've sold it and I've given the money to charity. This year, I've decided to make it free on several days throughout the holiday season, 5 days in all. Day number four is Thursday of this week, the 18th, on our way home. You can find it on Amazon, and you'll see on the 18th that it is free for the ebook, not the print edition. The print edition is a mere $9.99. That remains the same price, and it's a great stocking stuffer, and it just about would fit in a stocking. You got to curve it a little bit. Perfect. But you don't have to make any space for the ebook. You can get it free on Thursday, and I think the fifth day is next Monday, the 22nd. So making it free this year, and that's the one of all the ones I've written so far. That one's my favorite, and I've gotten a lot of great feedback about it. It has a very positive message. It was completely unintended, but it's in there, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing to get you in the spirit, and I think it also can help you if you've got some relationships in your life that have been broken and you're looking for a way to try to fix it. You're looking for a little inspiration to make the first move, or if you want to forgive yourself for failing to reconcile with someone before they passed on, I think that this will help encourage you to find forgiveness for yourself. And I think, you know, as hard as it is for us at times to forgive others, I think we have a lot of trouble at times forgiving ourselves and putting down that bag of regret and moving on with our lives.
Wow, it sounds like my relationship with my dad over the Browns. Now maybe at one point I'll forgive.
You're blaming your dad?
Yeah, I might as well. Nice. I mean, I got to let it go for my relationship with the Browns because he gave it to me. No, rest his soul. All right, what's going on with the Browns, my friend? Because we look here and we're trying to figure out if, Deshaun Watson's in a 21-day window. Is Kevin Stefanski also in a 21-day window towards the end of the season?
Well, we don't know because we never know what ownership is going to do. And what Jimmy Haslam has created, I believe, this is my opinion based upon all the things I've observed over the years, not just with the Browns, but with the NFL's other teams. I think Jimmy Haslam has created a scenario where he can meddle as much as he wants to meddle and trust that none of his lieutenants will out him as being a meddler. And, you know, there's a certain respect I have for Jerry Jones being the GM of the Cowboys in title, in name. He's out there taking the heat. He takes the criticism because he's making the moves. I've long believed that Jimmy Haslam is the guy behind the scenes who's got a ladle deep in the stew but doesn't want the fans to notice it because he doesn't want to have the criticism for all the things they've done that haven't panned out. So I say that because if you're going to blow it up, you better bring in people who can be trusted to, number one, let you meddle, and number two, take the heat for the outcome of your bad decisions. And look, Jimmy Haslam can say, well, I never told them to do this. I never told them to do that. You don't have to be that direct when you're the multi-billionaire owner of an NFL team. Anything you say, any question you ask, a facial expression, that sends messages that the people who are working for you are going to act on. So I think he's been too close to the action. I think he's been too involved in the decisions, and I think he wants to keep it that way. And if you usher out Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, who have done a good job of dealing with it, you're risking bringing in people who won't be quite so charitable.
If you're the Haslams, do you think that you should bring back these two guys? Or, and there's so many different areas to talk about this, Mike. Are they a package deal or are they not? And do you actually survive three wins followed by whatever this is going to be this year?
Generally speaking, I'm a firm believer in coach and GM being fused at the hip. I think a scenario where one guy could stay and one guy could go creates dysfunction, because when things go sideways, it doesn't become an issue of what can we do to make things better. It becomes what can I do to blame the other guy, subtly, discreetly, but inevitably. And that's one of the complaints coaches have, because they're down on the sideline working the game and they look up at the suite and they see the GM sitting next to the owner and they think, I wonder what they're talking about. I wonder what they're saying about me. I wonder what the GM is doing to blame me for the current state of the team. So I'm a big believer in both go or both stay. They survive together, they thrive together, or they fail together. Look, it all comes down to whether or not the Haslams feel like they have to make a change. You know, every team will act like the goal is to win the Super Bowl, even the Browns. At some level, oh, we're trying to win the Super Bowl. You want to keep the fans engaged. You want to keep them paying for tickets, showing up, buying all the overpriced stuff that they sell at the stadium, watching the games on TV. And there's a basic minimum you have to do to keep the fans engaged, because most of the fans are stuck with their fandom. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? They're going to deprive themselves something they love, even if it drives them crazy. They're going to go find another team. That doesn't work. It's like a family member. It's hard to disown a family member. So there's a basic minimum, and I think the bar is low as to what the fans will tolerate. Well, the bar is high as it relates to what the fans will put up with before they demand change. And I think that's the big factor here. Can the Haslams continue to fill the stadium with enough people to make the organization profitable? And do they feel compelled to make the change? Factoring in what I already said about Jimmy Haslam, I believe, wanting to be able to meddle with the team and have people there in those jobs who will let him do it and keep their mouths shut and not leak to anyone. Hey, you know, I wanted to do this. Like, I wanted nothing to do with Deshaun Watson. Surely there's at least one person in the organization, in the decision-making process, that wanted nothing to do with the Deshaun Watson trade, and no one has broken ranks to say that. That is impressive that Jimmy Haslam has fostered that kind of loyalty, that none of the people who could have said, it wasn't me, hey, I just want you all to know, it wasn't me, that's never happened. I mean, for the worst transaction we've ever seen in the NFL, and I'm not exaggerating, no Andrew Berry, no Kevin Stefanski, no Paul DePodesta, no leak saying, it wasn't me. They're all taking the heat together on this one.
Sorry, is that enough to keep both of those jobs for next year?
It could be.
Wow.
It could be again. Hey, look, it all comes down to what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Are you trying to make money or are you trying to win championships? Are you trying to make your fans think you're trying to win championships so you can make money? It would be ludicrous for a rational human being to pin his or her feelings of success on the question of whether or not they win the Super Bowl, hoist the trophy, and have a parade. Because you're not going to do it. The odds are against you every year. The odds are against every team. The team that wins the Super Bowl has defied 1 in 32 odds, in theory. That assumes all teams are equally constituted and equally equipped, and we know that's not the case. But still, that can't be how you define success. You know how you define success? Look at the balance sheet. That's success. Look at all the other stuff you can buy with the money that you make from the football team. Look at how many of these owners have these aircraft carriers that are floating hotels, right? That comes directly from – that's when you have so much money you don't know what to do with your money, so you want to show off to the world how much money you have and you buy this giant boat that you don't need. So that's the game. That's the game. How much money do we make? They're all winning They're all winning their own personal financial Super Bowl every year, and it's all part of this grift of a competition for one team to reign above all others. They're all reigning because it's raining for all of them.
What have you thought of Shedeur Sanders as a possible quarterback starter in this league moving forward?
Well, I mean, we've seen some good, we've seen some not good. And how much of it's on him, how much of it is on the lack of a supporting cast to really give him the help he's looking for? He's looked functional. He's passed the eyeball test for the most part. He's had some good plays. You know, Bill Walsh always said, if I see a guy do something once, I can coach him to do it all the time. Mm-hmm. And he's done enough things that you look at and say, all right, we got something we can work with here. So the question is, after the season, what are the options? How do they proceed? The options are Shedeur Sanders, Deshaun Watson, in theory, sign somebody in free agency, trade for somebody, or use one of the first-round picks on a quarterback. And I know there's been this belief that that's what they're going to do, but, man, if you could find a quarterback elsewhere, you don't have to scratch off that lottery ticket and hope. Number one, you don't have to invest the lottery ticket in the quarterback, and then you don't have to scratch it off and hope it's a winner. And we know what history tells us. It's a crapshoot. And the Browns' history tells us it's a crapshoot. From Brandon Weeden to Johnny Manziel to Tim Couch to whoever else they spent a first-round pick on that hasn't really panned out at quarterback position. If you can find a serviceable quarterback elsewhere and maybe start looking for the next Myles Garrett with your two first-round picks, you're better off. So that's going to be job number one. Once they decide what changes, if any, are going to be made to the power structure, the next question is, what the hell are we doing at quarterback? And I think Shedeur's done enough to be part of the conversation. We'll see what they decide to do.
When you look at Shedeur Sanders right now, and this is one of the themes that goes through my head. A lot of people here, or a lot of fans here, think Shedeur can be a franchise quarterback for the Browns, which would put them in the position that you just talked about. And as I watch him play, I think he's exciting and I think he's fun to watch. But in the back of my mind, I keep thinking they walked up to that microphone 143 times, and no one said his name during the draft of last year. Do you think anyone across the league is feeling regret that they didn't take Sanders at this point?
Well, I don't know that they're going to admit to it. Look, what I was told in the immediate aftermath of the draft, because I didn't want to get into the whole pre-draft spreading of rumors about, because you never know when the rumors are being spread by someone who secretly wants to see a player drop so they can draft him, because that's one of the very real dynamics of the pre-draft process. Afterward, like, let's figure out how this happened. And one person that I know and trust and who was in position to draft Shedeur Sanders said he approached the process not as if he was being interviewed, but as if he was being recruited. Now, some guys are good enough to do that. Some guys aren't. And at the quarterback position where you're taking on extra responsibilities and you show up early and you stay late and you study film, the attitude of, you know, basically, I don't have to kiss your butt, you have to kiss mine. And I'm not saying that was the attitude. I'm just trying to come up with another way to put it. That isn't going to fly, because you have to be able to supremely trust the quarterback to be the guy who comes in and works as the manager out among the other employees, the leader of the team. And teams weren't willing to roll the dice. And I ultimately think the Browns made the pick when they did, because they could know, you know, it's analytics. The gap between him and the next available guy is so huge, we'd be foolish not to accept this asset. Buy low, sell high. And hell, that's a possibility too. I mean, he could be traded in the offseason. I think their ambivalence toward him has been fueled in part by the coverage that he brings. It's almost like a Tebow mania light. It's one of the reasons why Tim Tebow couldn't find a home in the NFL after Tebow mania took the league by storm. Teams don't want those extra voices and forces and factors unrelated to talent and ability influencing decisions as to who should play and who shouldn't play. And I think that's been, even though Shedeur Sanders didn't really create that deliberately, that's part of the thing that makes him potentially unattractive.
Mike, your gut tells you the Browns are looking for a new head coach, a new general manager, neither or both.
I don't have a strong gut feeling that they're going to make changes. I don't have a strong gut feeling in that regard. Now, Paul DePodesta leaving, was it because his contract's coming up and he jumped before he could get pushed? I don't know. Was he truly ready to leave? I don't know. You know, the problem is with so many situations like this, nobody ever tells the truth. Nobody ever comes out and says what's really going on, right? And we'll see. I would probably be surprised, because what's different about this year? What is intolerable now that, you know, the Browns haven't been doing? They've had a couple of accidental playoff appearances, and that was enough to get Kevin Stefanski two Coach of the Year trophies. What's so different about this year that justifies making, you know, big changes? They went all in with Deshaun Watson. It blew up in their faces. It robbed them of three first-round picks plus guys who could be key parts of the team right now. We're living with the aftermath of that disastrous trade. Why did we expect this year to be any different? I guess that's the way I look at it. So why should Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski be fired if we're still living in the jet wash of that horrendous Deshaun Watson trade?
Mike, as always, happy holidays to you. Thank you again, father of mine, Big Shield, Quarterback and Future Playmakers. Those are all available where you can get your books, and go check those out as a gift. But special gift on Thursday on our way home is an ebook free, right?
Free.
Free.
Free charge. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. There you go. Mike Florio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.